but I did not fuck the horse.
History.
When I was a lad, an old ship was a pub. Over hills and meadows we'd stray. Just a boy and his dog, we were both full of fun. We grew up together that way. I remember the time at the old swimming hole when I would have a drum beyond. But old Shep was right there to the rescue he came. He jumped in and helped pull me out. As the years fast did roll, his eyes were fast growing dim. And one day the doctor looked at me and said, I can do no more for hands that were trembling. I picked up my gun and aimed it at Shep's faithful head. I just couldn't do it. I wanted to run. I wish they shoot me instead. He came to my side and he looked up at me and laid his old head on my knee. I had struck the best friend that a man ever had. I cried so I scarcely could see. Old Shelby has gone where the good dog is gone, and no more with old Shelby. But if dogs have a heaven, there's one thing I know. Old Shep has a wonderful home.
All right. You are listening to Deadwood Radio in Outlaw Country on Sirius Channel 63. We're sitting here, we're looking back at episode 10, and, Earl, why don't you tell us a little bit about that, because you wrote that episode.
Yeah, I did write part of it.
You did?
It's, well, just a background story for those who haven't heard. David Milch is our show creator and head writer. And make no mistake, however many pies are sitting on the Deadwood shelf, David's thumb has been in every one of them. But the great thing about him is he shares credit and he shares the money with people. And when you work on the writing staff, basically your job is to pitch him ideas. And if something he likes, tell you what, take that and develop a story arc and write a couple of scenes. Let me see them. So you give them back to him. And then if he likes it, then all right, use this and weed it into that Bullock story, the thing about the over at the hardware store. So next step. Well, the final step is David laying on pillows in the middle of the floor. We are sitting on couches, we the writing staff, surrounding him, and his typist is sitting behind the desk. And David, will off the top of his head, will espouse the language. My favorite directive of his, and this goes back, I've been working actually in the trailer really since season one. Season two is when I started really spending time in there. But my favorite directive of David's, he will rewrite one line 30 times. I mean, he'll just change it incessantly. But again, he has that sense of meter and, you know, the poetry of the language in his head that he's writing.
So now let me ask you, some of the things that you wrote, were they completely changed around almost to the point of being unrecognizable, but yet still your
several
idea?
Several things. But the story I was telling with David, my favorite directive is he's looking at what has been typed, and he says, change fucking from the adverb to the adjective. Flip it back to the adverb. That's it. And then he moves on. Flip fucking from the adverb to the adjective, and then flips it back to
the... So would that be fucked?
Yeah. Well, okay. That's just a mark of his genius. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. My name is on the script for this. I did write a big chunk of it, but everything goes through David and is processed through his way of writing. But yeah, it's been a treat, and it proves that my megalomania knows no bounds. I mean, I hate to challenge you, Howard, but by gosh, I think I might be becoming at least the prince of all media. Anyway.
As you sit here with the whores of Deadwood.
Yeah. Good thing I have these cans on my ears because they're turning red. Okay, well, I got a block of mining songs lined up. This first one is the Cowboy Junkies.
We are miners, hard rock miners. To the shaft house we must go. Oil bottles on our shoulders, we are marching to the slow. On the line, boys, on the line, boys, drill your holes and stand in line till the shift boss comes to tell you you must drill her out on time. Can't you feel the rock dust in your lungs? It'll cut down a miner when he is still young. 2 years and the silicosis takes hold, and I feel like I'm dying from mining for gold. Yes, I feel like I'm dying from mining for gold.
A miner was leaving his home for his work when he heard his little child scream. Then he ran to the side of the little girl's bed. She said, "Daddy, I've had such a dream." "Oh, Daddy, don't go to the mines today, for dreams have so often come true. Oh, Daddy, my Daddy, please don't go away, for I never could live without you." Smiling and stroking his little girl's face, he was turning away from her side when she threw her little arms around her daddy's neck. She gave him a kiss and then cried. "Oh, I dreamed that the mines were all flaming with fire, and the men all fought for their lives." Just then the scene changed, and the mouth of the mine was covered with sweethearts and wives. "Oh, Daddy, don't go to come true. Oh, Daddy, my Daddy, please don't go away, for I never could live without you. Tell all your friends that as sure as the bright stars do shine, something awful is going to happen today. Please, Daddy, don't go to the mine. Oh, Daddy, don't go to the mines today, for dreams have so often come true. Oh, Daddy, my Daddy, please don't go away, for I never could live without you.
I'll see to the Baron with you. I will visit up there anyways.
That ain't gonna raise your popularity with your fellow white people.
Question I wake to in the morning and pass out with at night. What's my popularity with my fellow white people?
You're in Outlaw Country in Sirius Satellite Radio. You're listening to the Deadwood Radio Show. We have been blessed with a special guest, the biggest Deadwood fan in the United States, at least the biggest one with his own radio show. Mojo Nixon has walked in here.
How you doing, Earl?
Hey, man, you got to be honest with me. Did you drive up to L.A. and come to the studio because you heard we were doing a Deadwood show, or you heard that there was going to be four whores in here this afternoon?
I heard there's going to be some easy women, and I got money. I heard these women were not actors, but they were real.
Well, you can tell they're bathed now. They're clean.
Oh, I know. They're all prettied up, and oh, what a fine group of whores you have here.
Thank you.
I'm pro poontang my own. I want to tell you something, Mary. Earl. You know, I think we need more whores. I tell you what, you go to a strip club, you know, and you got can't touch. You know, look, but what's this look but don't touch?
You know, that brings up a point. In Nashville, which had the best strip clubs.
Titty City, they used to call it.
Dude, I used to go there to Crystal's all the time. I was there a few months ago. We went out, me and Steve Popovich here, with some friends, and they've got the damn 3-foot rule, the velvet rope, and it's terrible. Well, Fred Gill, 2-foot Fred from Big and Rich, is a buddy of mine.
Right.
And he knows every stripper in Nashville. And we were talking. I said, what the fuck's going on with the clubs in Nashville? He goes, man, the girls are... Man, they're not only that, but the state is now having to license them. So they're telling them it's bad, you can't do it, but they want their cut of it.
Oh, yeah.
And no. I said, you know something? I got an idea. Let's turn the laws on themselves. There is an Americans with Disabilities Act that guarantees equal access to every American. Anybody in this country has the right of equal access. It's a 3-foot rule, and you are 2-foot Fred. I think you have a right to reach over on that damn stage and brush a boob as you drop a dollar.
It's
as
a
anybody. Yeah, I said, man. So we said, well, we'll have to discuss this with a little bit of wildwood weed, and then we'll come up with an answer.
I don't know how I feel about this discussion.
Everybody loves the nut. The whole world loves the weirdo. Brains are in a rut, but everybody loves the nut. There was a hermit named Fred who kept a dead horse in his cave. And everyone said to Fred, Fred, how come you keep a dead horse in your cave? And he said, well... Everybody loves a nut. A Columbia man named Frank had a tiger named Hank. He tried to put Hank in his tank. Guess what happened to old Frank? When they picked up the teeth, hair, and eyeballs and erected a tombstone, it read... Everybody loves a nut. Another Columbia fella told Queen Isabella, I don't think the world is flat. Now, what do you think about that? And she said, you don't. And he said, no, ma'am. And she said, you get out of my queendom. And he said, yes, ma'am.
This song is the Wildwood Flower. Now, the Wildwood Flower is an old country classic. It's gained a whole new popularity. The song isn't any more popular, but the flower is doing real good. The Wildwood Flower grew wild on the farm, and we never knowed what it was called. Some said it's a flower, and some said it's a weed. I didn't give it much thought. One day I was out there talking to my brother, and I reached down for a weed to chew on. Things got fuzzy and things got blurry, and then everything was gone. Didn't know what happened, but I knew it beat the hell out of sniffing burlap. I come to, and my brother was there, and he said, what's wrong with your eyes? I said, I don't know. I was chewing on a weed. He said, well, let me give it a try. Spent the rest of that day and most of that night trying to find my brother Bill. Caught up with him about 6 o'clock the next morning, naked, singing on the windmill. He said he flew up there. I had a had to fly out and get him down. He's about half crazy. The very next day, we picked a bunch of them weeds and we put them in the sun to dry. And we mashed them up and cleaned them off, put them in the corn cob pie. Smoking them wildwood flowers got to be a habit. We never seen no harm. Oh, we thought it was kind of handy. Take a trip and never leave the farm. Big old puff that wildwood weed. Next thing you know, you're just wandering around behind the little animals. All good things got to come to an end. It's the same with the wildwood weeds. One day this fella from Washington come by and spied them and turned white as a sheet. And he dug and he burned and he burned and he dug and he killed all our cute little weeds. And then he drove away. We just smiled and waved, sitting there on that sack of seeds. Y'all come back now, you hear?
You may need to clean the wax out of your hose, because I said I will let him know.
I'm a guy with a heart of gold, the ways of a gentleman. I've been told the kind of guy who would never harm a flea. But if me and a certain character met the man who invented the cigarette, I'd murder that son of a gun in the first degree. Now it ain't cause I don't smoke myself, and I don't figure it'll hurt my health. I've been smoking for 25 years, ain't dead yet. But them nicotine slaves, they're all the same. At a petting party or a poker game, everything's gotta stop while you smoke that cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you puff yourself to death,
tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you just hate to make him wait, but you just gotta have another cigarette. Had a game of chance the other night. Old Dame Fortune was doing me right. The kings and queens just kept on coming round. But I played them low, bet them high. My blood didn't work on a certain guy. Kept on betting, laying that money down. He'd raise me, I'd raise him. I sweated blood, you gotta sink or swim. When he finally called and then didn't raise the bet, I said, aces, full pal, how about you? He said, I'll tell you in a minute or two, but right now I'm gonna smoke another cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you puff yourself to death,
tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you just hate to make him wait, but you just gotta have another cigarette. Had a date with the cutest little gal in the 48 states, a regular uptown fancy kind of dame. She said she'd love me, it seemed to me. Things was going the way they was supposed to be. Hand in hand, we was rolling down Lover's Lane. She was oh so far from a cake of ice. Our petting party was going nice. So help me, Hannah, I'd have been there yet. But I gave her a hug and a little squeeze. And she said, Cody, excuse me, please, but right now I gotta light up one of them cigarettes. Tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you just hate to make him wait. You just gotta have just one more cigarette. Now life ain't nothing but a poker game. No two hands quite the same. And I never saw a winner that didn't bet. So if any of you folks fixing to quit, I ain't gonna criticize you one little bit. Instead, I'm gonna light up one of them cigarettes.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you puff yourself to death,
tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you just hate to make him wait, but you just gotta have another cigarette. Gotta smoke.
Ha ha ha! You know, there's a lot of talk going around today about cigarette smoking whittling your life away. I've seen it and I've heard it so many times that finally it just started to prey on my mind. I guess it scared me a little bit. That's why I decided I was going to quit. So while I was sitting here forming my battle plan, I took another puff and turned on the fan. I just sat there in my easy chair and thought of all the money I'd wasted on cigarettes all these years. I thought how I'd spend the rest of my days after I kicked this habit my body craved. Said to myself, this ain't gonna be so tough. With that little bit of assurance, I took another puff. I took a puff, then I ripped off another puff. I decided I about had enough, that breaking this habit won't be too tough. Now, I'll give a lot of thought to this thing. If I didn't smoke cigarettes, I'd feel just like a king. Besides, with the price going up every day, I knew I was just throwing all my good money away. You know, I ain't lit one an hour or so. Just wanted to make sure I could quit, you know. I was thinking maybe I ought to write all this down, put it in a song, kind of circulate it around. Can't ever tell, it might make a hit. That'd have to call it a little bit. Can you imagine me, the hit songwriter? Where'd I put that cigarette lighter? After all, it's a habit and a habit you can break. Just a little bit of willpower, son, that's all it takes. Said to myself, you've got to be tough. And with that little bit of wisdom, I took another puff. I took a puff, and then a puff. And I finally ripped off another puff, and I decided, boy, this ain't gonna be tough. Besides, I just about had enough. I'm about ready to quit this rotten habit anyway. Oh, I think they ought to take it off television. It looks too good. Oh. I like them skinny ones with the filter. Oh, give it to me, give it to me. Cigarettes. I say, if I quit smoking, what'll I do? Maybe I'll eat. Maybe I'll eat cigarettes. Oh, I love it, 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 I love it. Chester B don't smoke. He smokes logs. Makes you laugh funny, too. Oh, my throat's scratching. Oh, I wish I could think of something bad to say about cigarettes. Boo on cigarettes. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. You quit smoking, that'd leave more for me. I love it, I love it. No, I don't love cigarettes. You know, don't misunderstand me. I hate cigarettes. Makes you cough. When you don't smoke, it makes you shake. I don't know what's worse, to shake or to cough. I think it'll make me a cough shake. Oh! Son, did you ever smoke? Oh, I remember one time I quit smoking. I quit for 3 months. My wife left me. So did my children. She took my house and left. It was a mobile home.
You're listening to Channel 63, Outlaw Country, and this is the Deadwood Radio Program. Or as I like to call it, the Gunslingers, Gold Diggers, and Cocksuckers Radio Review, featuring cast members of HBO's Deadwood, and this afternoon, one very special friend and booster of our show. First of all, let's introduce the cast. I'm Earl Brown, I play Dan Doherty.
I'm Ashley Kaiser, I play Dolly.
I'm Leah Savoli, I'm Tess in the Gym.
I'm Sarah, and you can find me in the Bella Saloon.
I'm Lydia, and I'm also a fellow Bella girl.
And our special guest this afternoon, you probably recognize the voice if you listen to Outlaw Country on a regular basis. It is the loon in the afternoon,
Mojo Nelson!
Woo! Oh, thank y'all, thank y'all. I want to say this about Deadwood. It's the greatest TV show ever. You know, some people say, oh no, Mojo, Sopranos are better. Sopranos ain't better. Took the Sopranos too long to get to season 5.
Hallelujah!
It's better than the Dick Van Dyke Show. It's better than All in the Family. It's better than Twin Peaks. Deadwood is the greatest thing. It's the most American thing I've ever seen on the TV. Deadwood is so good, makes my dick hard.
That's what we like to hear.
I am humbled. I am humbled. You know, I hear me and you have a connection. We have a mutual friend. Ted Mann, the story editor of our show, introduced me to this great American. Our connection is an awfully kinky one.
That's right. The next governor of the great state of Texas, Richard Kinky Big Dick Friedman, he's going to be elected in November. It's going to be a glorious time down in Texas.
And I don't know of a single governor in all of the history of the United States that has ever written a song called "They Ain't Making Jews Like Jesus Anymore."
Deadwood freaking radio.
Yeehaw.
Woo!
Well, a redneck nerd in a bowling shirt was a guzzling Lone Star beer, talking religion and a politics for all the world to hear. They ought to send you back to Russia, boy, or New York City one. You just want to doodle a Christian girl and you killed God's only son. I said, has it occurred to you, you nerd, that that's not very nice? We Jews believe it was Santa Claus that killed Jesus Christ. You know, you don't look Jewish, he said, near as I could figure. I had you lamped for a slightly anemic, well-dressed country nigger.
No, they ain't making Jews like Jesus anymore. They don't turn the other cheek the way they done before.
He started into shouting and a spitting on the floor. Lord,
they ain't making Jews like Jesus anymore.
He says, I ain't a racist, but Aristotle Onassis is one Greek we don't need. And them niggers, Jews, and Sigma Nus, all they ever do is breed. And Wops and Mix and Slopes and Spicks and Spooks are on my list. And there's one little heap from the heart of Texas. Is there anyone I miss? Well, I hits him with everything I had right square between the eyes. I says, I'm gonna get you, son of a bitch. He's spouting that pack of lies. If there's one thing I can't abide, it's an ethnocentric racist. Now you take back that thing you said about Aristotle Onassis.
And all they ain't making Jews like Jesus anymore. We don't turn the other cheek the way we've done before.
You could hear that honky holler as he hit that hardwood floor. Lord, they sure
ain't making Jews like Jesus anymore.
All right.
Anymore.
the helpless creatures on their way. Well, old pal, ain't it surprising how far you can go before you stay? Do not let the morning blind you. When on your sleeve you wore the yellow star, old memories still live behind you. Can't you see by your outfit who you are? How long will you be driven relentlessly around the world? The blood and the rhythms of the soul. Wild ponies all, your dreams were broken, rounded up and made to move along. The loneliness which can't be spoken just swings a rope and rides inside a song. Dead limbs play with ringless finger, a melody which burns you deep inside. Oh, how the song becomes the singer. May peace be ever with you when you ride. In the window, candles glowing, reminds you that today you are a child. The road ahead, forever rolling, and anything worth crying can be smiled. So ride, ride, ride. Ride 'em, Jew boy. Ride 'em all around the old corral. I'm with you. I'm with you, boy. If I got to ride 6 million miles.
Use that time to put some stink on his Johnson.
Well, it's so hard to say I love you when you're sitting on my face. Well, I tell you what I'm thinking of you if you just sit some other place. Well, just a moment, just a breath of air, just a little change.
the pace, 'cause it's so hard to say I love you when you're sitting on my face. Well, I could say, ooh, or even, oh, I could even yodel, lay down in the valley. That's a mighty fine place to go, as long as you ask me no questions. Well, I'll tell you no lies. You see, I'm your prisoner when I'm locked between your thighs. Don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. No one could ever take your place, but just don't ask to hear I love you when you're sitting on my face. Well, now, girl, I keep telling you, you're the only one, but my words are muffled, if you'll pardon the pun. See, nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina, and I'll explain that after I'm done. Well, you know, I've always been a rambling man, and I think it's only right that you should know that the day might come, and so might you, and then I'll have to go. Don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. No one could ever take your place, but just don't ask to hear I love you when you're sitting on my face. Well, it's so hard to say I love you when you're sitting on my face. Well, I tell you what I'm thinking of you, if you just sit some other place. Well, just a moment, just a moment, just a breath of air, just a little change of pace. 'Cause it's so hard to say I love you when you're sitting on my face. There's just no way to say I love you when you're sitting on my face.
Hey. Just a little favor for the Kingster. Well, Kiki is everywhere. Kiki is everything. Kiki is everybody. Kiki is still the king. Man, oh man, what I want you to see is that the Kingster is inside of you and me. Yeah! Let me ask you a question out there, friends. Who is at the Alamo?
Kiki!
Who ate the steak in Amarillo?
Kiki!
Who wasn't on the grass and no?
Kiki!
Who went berserk in Borneo?
Kiki!
Who got laid, got drunk, and kicked ass in San Jacinto?
Kiki! 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 Kiki!
Friends, you see convicts out in the big thicket who just escaped from the prison rodeo in Huntsville, and they're listening to Wolfman Jack on the border radio station, and they call Wolfman Jack up, and what song do they request?
Kiki! Kiki! Kiki!
Now, some of y'all going, Mojo, I don't understand what's going on down there in Texas. What's going on in Texas politics? You want to know what's going on in Texas politics? Let me tell you!
Kiki needs votes. Kiki needs votes. Kiki, 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 Kiki needs votes.
Yeah! Kiki is everybody. Kiki is everything. Kiki is everywhere! Each person out there has got a little bit of kinky in them. Everybody except one person, that is, the evil opposite of kinky, the anti-kinky. You know who I'm talking about? Let me tell you! Rick Perry has no kinky in him.
Woo! Kinky is everywhere. Kinky is everything. Kinky is everybody. Is still the king. Man, oh man, what I want you to see, that the Kingster is inside of you and me. Yeah!
I got some more questions about the next potentate of this great state. Let me ask you,
Who rocks Spindletop?
Kinky.
Who punched cows at Cadillac Ranch?
Kinky.
Who led the Jews out of Fredericksburg? Who owns Babe Dietrichson? And who was last seen buck naked at Barton Springs?
Kinky, 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 kinky.
Friends, I love Kinky Friedman. Kinky is wild and crazy and free. Kinky is a real Texas American nut job. Kinky is truly independent. A poet, a libertine, a free spirit, a truth speaker. The last lone star in a sea of mendacity. I'm talking about
Kinky, Kinky.
How do we like it?
Kinky.
How do we like it?
Kinky.
Friends, I got a good feeling about Kinky. I got a real good feeling about Kinky because I got some secret inside information. That's right, when I'm sitting at home alone late at night, the bats come and talk to Mojo. That's right, my friends, not Batman, the bats from under the bridge. They come and they whisper in Mojo's ears. You know what they say? Well,
Kinky is everywhere. Kinky is everything. Kinky is everybody. Kinky is still the king.
Last couple of hours, you've been tuned into the Deadwood Radio Show here in Outlaw Country. We've been the cast of Deadwood, or at least part of us anyway, and it is time to say goodbye. Ladies, let's all say goodbye on three. Ready? One, two.
Goodbye.
So tune in next week when my co-host is going to be the one, the only, Al Swearingen himself, Ian McShane. We're going to close out this season the right way. Rumor has it Woo might come by to visit. And Mojo, thanks for stopping in this afternoon, buddy. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me there.
And like your last song said, Kinky is everywhere. If you are in the great state of Texas, come November, you get your ass out to vote. And you vote for the right man, Kinky Friedman. So I'm going to change gears and close out with a final song. This song comes from Angola Prison. It's true, they went into Angola in the 40s and 50s and recorded actual prisoners singing. And this man, Hogman Maxie, has haunted my dreams for many years since I first heard him sing. We're going to close out with "The Black Night Has Fallen."
Black night falling, my pain's coming down again. Oh, black night falling, oh, my pain's coming down again. Oh, I feel so lonesome. Oh, I ain't got no friend. Oh, just another pain. Oh, Lord, what hurts so bad? Just another pain. Oh, Lord, what hurts so bad? Would I feel so lonesome, baby? Lost the best friend I've ever had. And I played a long time. sheets and pillows torn all to pieces, baby. Blood stained all over the wall. Sheets and pillows torn all to pieces, baby. And blood stained all on the wall. Oh, Lord, I was naked when I left, baby. And the telephone wasn't in the hall. Whoa, Rocky Mountain. That's a lonesome place to go. Rocky Mountain. That's a lonesome place to go. Well, I'm going up on the mountain, baby. Knock up on my baby's door. Baby, try me one more time. Ooh, take me back, baby. Try me one more time. Ooh, Lord, if I don't treat you no better, I'm gonna break my neck a trying.
Jones, he was a mighty man, but now he's a-resting in the promised land. The kind of music he could understand was an eight-wheel driver under his command. He made a freight train boogie all the time. He made a freight train boogie as he rolled down the line. Everybody along the line could tell Casey Jones, he was a-coming to town on a 6-8-wheeler that was burning the ground. He made a freight train boogie all the time. He made a freight train boogie as he rolled down the line. All the time. He made a freight train boogie as it rolled down the line. Yeah.